From the front lines.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgate. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
Hey, we're on the phone for the fans of Blue Blue Show, the Ring Podcast with Ranger Proud. Season review episode because our team has bowed out in six games to the Tampa Bay Lightning. Your Eastern Conference champions will be facing the Colorado Avalanche starting Wednesday for the Stanley Cup Finals. And I am all in on the Colorado Avalanche. I'm tired of the Tampa Bay Lightning. But we got to talk about it. It's going to be a summary level view of how this season went. And I think I can speak for myself that we exceeded expectations further than where I thought we would have gone. Especially, you know, going back to last year, Gorton being let go, Davidson let go, and Chris Drury comes in and makes some blue line changes and bringing in some enforcers to the team. Overall, I think the season has went well, but to be quite honest with you, at the same time, I really wanted to make the Stanley Cup Finals. Now, I didn't think we would beat Colorado, but I thought we were better than the Eastern Conference Finals, and it's hard to say because Tampa Bay was down Braden Point, probably their best center. Talented center, leading playoff point scorer, and they're pretty much their run. So there's really no excuses for the Blue Shirts. But let's talk about it. Let's talk about the season as a whole. Let's talk about the moves Gerard Gallant made. Let's say, for instance, Kako sit and out if you agree or disagree with it. And I hate to say it, but, you know, Shesterkin to me played way better. I think he outplayed Vasilevsky, to be honest with you. But I think Vasilevsky had a lot more help. We could talk about that. Ranger fans and I got into it over the weekend. Fuck them. Some of them, fuck them. Because, yeah, shout out to Scott. And I know Scott probably will not make this episode. If he calls in, I'd be surprised. And, you know, he had, you know, death in the family, right? And he had this meme. Well, maybe he may be here. Let him speak for himself. But this Truba shit is really got into the Rangers, under the Rangers' skin about, I thought Truba had a very good regular season, a hell of a regular season, probably his best regular season, right? He had a solid playoffs. Matter of fact, if it wasn't for him, we probably don't get this far because him knocking out Crosby helped get us back into that Pittsburgh series, right? He did a hell of a job in that Carolina series, but I got to be honest with you. As much as, you know, it's a team effort. Like, everybody could be at fault. You know, you get positives and negatives. But, man, that game three with the penalties he had, and then also game six, I can't let it go because after that Vetrano power play goal, I thought, you know, it gave us a little bit of life. But we cannot ignore him getting dusted by Steven Stamkos to the point it was so bad on that go-ahead goal that – there was enough time for a recovery and knock it in. That's how bad he got beat on the play. But, you know, it's not a knock against True, but per se, as far as overall, because he had a hell of a season. But to me, he had a subpar series. That's just being honest. But let's talk about it, man. We got an hour to knock this out. Ranger Proud, he's been, man, writing articles all over the place. We got Carl with us, Glenn, and I think I do see Scott. But RP, let's lead off with you. Say hello to the people. Let's get everybody on to say hello first. And of course, RP will say hello and get you on so we get your thoughts on the season overall, man. What's up, man?
Hey, you guys. How's it going tonight?
Oh, man.
Hey, guys. It could all be worse. It was a great season. If you don't win the Stanley Cup and you make it to the playoffs, it's always a disappointing playoff. But let's be realistic. You know, being up 2-0, guys, of course, everyone thought two more wins away, it was in the bag. And I've been saying this all weekend, Steve, and you know it. Sometimes you just lose to a better team. And people may not say the Rangers, the Tampa Bay was the better team, but they shut us down for four straight games. And when you do that, you're the better team. It's the reality. When you don't score 5-on-5, except for one Ryan Lindgren goal in games 3, 4, 5, and 6, you just don't deserve to win. and your opposition played better. It was a defensive battle, yes, but they played better. They got some of the lucky bounces, and they scored the important goals. The overtime goal, a goal with 46 seconds or something left, and a goal with a minute and a half left.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to know something? After we've settled down and got a little drunk and all of that, like you said, the Ranger Twitter was really nasty this weekend, considering where we were 5 short years ago, where we are today, and where we're going to be in the future. It's people that sometimes don't look at the whole picture. Everyone just looked at, oh, we blew a 2-0 lead. Yeah, it sucks. Of course it sucks. No one wants to blow a 2-0 lead and lose 4 straight. But it happened, and you kind of know why it happened, and I hope we can build on that. The foundation's there. It's there. They're going to be a solid team.
Yeah. Let's get everybody on. Yeah, I hear you, man. Shout out to RP. Carl, say hello to the people, man. How you doing, man?
Hey, pleasant good evening, gentlemen. Good day to everybody. I know we were expecting better, but, you know, unfortunately it did not work out. And, you know, thank goodness I'm not part of the conversation on Ranger Twitter, because thank goodness I have to make sure I avoid any of that. But we've got plenty to get into. We've got the fan part of me, and then I have the emotionless, cold part of me that went into the lab the last 2 days to see exactly what happened. And, ooh, let's just say the results were not pretty.
Oh, boy. All right, shout-out to Carl. Glenn, hey, what's up, man? How you doing, man?
Yeah, good evening again to everybody. Disappointing ending to just a fantastic season. When you think back early in the season in October when they got off to that great start, and we were all kind of saying, gee, can they maintain this? Is this for real? Are they going to start falling back a little bit and, you know, fighting for a wild card spot like we all thought they might be doing in the beginning of the season? To look back at all the great games, the memories, how they did maintain that big start, how they didn't lose 4 straight games until the 4 straight against Tampa. You know, it's a little disappointing. Not quite ready to watch baseball yet, but, hey, they gave us a great run. And this reminds me of, you know, some of the other teams, the 79 team, the 86 team, that kind of had a run when it was least expected. Hey, you can't ask for more from this team. So, you know, despite all the Twitter stuff and everything else complaining about Trouba and whatever else, there's a lot of guys that you could put on the list in those last 3-4 games, and I don't think Trouba's necessarily at the top of it. So I think that's a lot of nonsense. He had a solid season.
Hold on, Glenn. Let's get everybody on. We'll talk about it.
Okay.
We'll get everybody on. Scott, what's up? How you doing, man? I didn't think you was going to make it, but what's up, man?
Hey, yeah. I literally just walked in the door at 9:01 on the nose, so here I am. You know, I mean, yeah, we're all ecstatic about the, you know, exceeding expectations, about the way ahead of schedule run. We're thrilled about that, and we're all upset about, you know, the way it went down because they had that 2-0 lead. Had they just come out and gotten swept by Tampa, we wouldn't be as upset, I don't think. It's just because they had that 2-0 lead. But they ran out of gas, and, you know, I give them a pass. I mean, yeah, we'll get to the point where we're pinpointing, you know, mistakes and whatnot, but I give the team a pass, and not because of the ahead of schedule thing, but because I think RP had said it last week, now it's up to 20 games in 41 days. You know, this was a COVID crunch schedule that – you know, and it's not just the fact that they went 7 games in the first 2. This is a schedule we've never seen before because it was so crunched together. And 20 games in 41 days at a playoff level of all those games is, not to mention they kicked the thing off in triple overtime, you know. And so it's basically 21 games in 41 days. You know, it caught up to them. You know, we've never seen this before. You know, we've seen teams go 7 rounds, 7 games in the first. I think the Kings did it one of the years, I think. Don't quote me on that. But and ended up winning the Cup. But, you know, it's not just the 7 games and the 7 games. It's the COVID crunch schedule. You know, if this was a normal playoff year, they would have had – you know, 2 days off in there more than once. They would have had at least one every round, if not, you know, twice per round. They would have had 2 days off, maybe three, in between rounds. And that caught up to them. And the 9 days rest, the sweep and the 9 days rest of Tampa, it may have worked against them in the first round, the first game, you know, getting the bugs out. But after that, it completely went in their favor. And, you know, we can say that the Rangers, you know, in the last four games just stopped playing, but they were just gassed. This again, this was a schedule we've never seen before. It's not going to happen next year. They're just, you know, trying desperately to get the schedule back on, you know, to normalcy so they can start the season back to normal next year, in which case you would have a couple extra days here and there, which are absolutely vital. So as a whole, I give the team a pass because they're human beings. You know, yeah, they're hockey players, they're warriors, you know, but we don't think of them. But that's just an obscene amount of games with no rest, and it caught up to them, and they can only do so much, and they just died. And for that, yeah, I give them a pass. And it's more disappointing to think of it that way because you think, like, if this was a normal season, we don't lose four straight, but it is what it is.
And RP, can you follow up with that and add any additional thoughts? What I will do on this episode is, like, every time somebody speaks, so the next person that's following, feel free to piggyback off what they're saying, but also add in your own thoughts so we get a free-flowing dialogue. So, RP, if you want to follow up with what Scott said and Glenn said before that, we go right down the line and get a conversation on the season review.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with the fatigue part. Even John Cooper of Tampa Bay and his presser afterwards said, you know, he gave the Rangers all the credit because it wasn't 20 games in 40 days. It was 20 playoff games. And he saw that the Rangers were fatigued afterwards, and he thought that the nine-day layoff they had hurt them in game one and two, but then they found a whole bunch of energy that he saw the Rangers didn't have, and they knew they were able to grind them down. The flip side to that, defensively, the Rangers played Tampa Bay pretty well. You know, in the last game, giving up that go-ahead goal with 21 seconds after we tied it up really sucked, but, you know, that happened, and they couldn't obviously bounce back from it. But from what I saw from the playoff standpoint, first I'm just going to address the elephant in the room, and you guys all know it. Gallant's decision in Game 6 not to play Kako did not bother me as much as probably every New York Rangers fan that I've spoken to. He had two goals and three assists in 19 games. Yes, he was playing well, but this team was not scoring. So if Gallant didn't make a move, they would have said, well, you didn't try to change the lineup, and that's why we lost. He went with what he thought was the best move to make with the lineup. He sat Kako. He tried to put Dryden Hunt in, thinking he'd get some fresh legs going, and it didn't work out. My biggest problem is that he played Ryan Strome in that game. A pelvic injury that affected his stomach, his groin, and his hip. He knew he was sore. In warm-ups, he came off the ice, went back to the locker room, came back on, and they decided to insert him into the lineup. To me, that was the problem. If the player was that hurt in an elimination game, I think you should have sat him. Players were blowing by him. He wasn't the Ryan Strome. Gallant admitted it wasn't the same Ryan Strome. So that's the decision that I second-guessed on him. And I really haven't second-guessed Gallant for most of the year. So that is something that people want to elaborate on and talk about. I can understand. Sitting Kako, he was breaking up the kid line anyway that game. He went with a hunch, and it didn't pan out. I really didn't have a problem with it. I know Rangers Twitter and everybody under the sun thought it was the worst move in the world. But based on what Kako had done, he was driving to the net. He was grinding hard, but he was not scoring. You look at what Lafreniere was getting plenty of scoring chances. Hedl had a wonderful playoff. So I can understand the move that they made. In essence, in this playoff round, aside from fatigue, they just shut us down. You know, we thought we saw a good forecheck against the Carolina Hurricanes, and I'm sure Carl has all the numbers and the analytics on that series and the Penguins series and the Lightning series. I'm not much into the analytical. I don't go by what they should be scoring and what they should be giving up. I go by what they did on the ice that particular game. And in those last four games, there was no offense. And that goes from Kreider to Zibanejad to Panarin, who did not have a great playoff at all. These guys who, not to say they didn't give it their all, they just couldn't get the job done. And that's something that fans sometimes can't relate to. That's something people don't like to say. That team was better than our team, or that team shut our boys down. But overall, it was a very successful playoff. You want to talk about going into this playoffs, all they talked about was no one had playoff experience. Panarin only had 36 games. This guy only had that. The kids were so young. And now you come out of this 20 games experience, 7 games, overtime, battles. I mean, this team is so much stronger and better now than they were when the playoffs started. And I know many might say, well, that's crazy because they got knocked out. But sometimes you got to learn from losing how to grow. And I truly believe that. This team's core is going to be here. Lafreniere is just going to get better. Hedl has shown from when he came to the Rangers to these playoffs what kind of player he can be. You know, and even Gallant said he'd be surprised if players like Kako and Lafreniere aren't top six forwards in the very near future. And that's what you're priming for. You know, guys, look how well Calgary Miller played. Look how well Schneider played. He's a kid that wasn't even on the team in December. He was getting some good minutes, playing with a so-so Justin Braun. And when he played with Nemeth, it was just a shit show. So there's a lot to take out of the positives here. And it's always easy to find the negatives because we lost. But I think as a whole, you have to look at what they did as a unit, what they did as a team for those 20 games. I mean, come on, we almost played hockey to Father's Day. You can't beat that. The offseason's going to be so short. September's right around the block, and they're going to be right back at it again. Chesterkin now knows what Henrik Lundqvist feels like for the last 15 seasons he played. Played good enough probably to win every game, at least after the first round. And at the end of the day, just couldn't get it done because the team in front of him wouldn't allow him to make a mistake, which is a tough way to play any hockey game, never mind against the two-time defending champs. So I'm not as disappointed with the loss because I see all the promise that this team has going forward, and I like the core of this team. They do need to make some decisions. I'm sure we'll talk about that after. Free agency, they need another defenseman for the third pairing. They need a center desperately. And these are all things that we're going to address probably once the Stanley Cup final's over.
Right. That's a good point Scott made, and you made, RP. We go to Carl, but I think there's one thing you could take from this playoff run, and they did a lot of comeback from behind wins and even trailing the series, and I think that goes into part what Scott said. That's why they did look tired, not to make excuses, but that's a lot of games and a lot of overcome. You got to see Tampa Bay. They finished off Florida in four. Right? They had a 7-game series versus the Maple Leafs, and they had their rest.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they came out flat in that game number one, man, they found a way to turn it on. Let's go to Carl. Carl, you heard RP's thoughts, and you were in the lab. Feel free to shout it out, and then we'll go to Glenn and get his thoughts from whatever you said and RP said.
Yeah, no question. I wanted to follow up on something RP just mentioned, and that was in terms of the rest. You know, I found it very unsettling, I guess is probably the best word I can use for lack of a different word I want to use, that there seemed to be like a moving of the goalpost on that during the postseason. There would be fans, even I watched, the MSG pregame and postgame, and, this question would come up about, the condensed amount of games and the amount of days that they've been playing. And by some people, it was just sort of poo-pooed as if, oh, that doesn't really matter. They're well-conditioned athletes and all this. I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, nobody else does this.
Uh-huh.
I was looking back at my history and I was like, wait a second. Because finally the fact came out after the game Saturday night and I had to make sure I went back a little bit further. Only two teams in the last, I think it's the last 30 years, you probably go further than that. It's only really two in the last 30, but we could probably find out if there's more, that have played 14 playoff games in the first two rounds of the playoffs and then played and then advanced to the next round. The only two teams to do it were the 14 Rangers and the 14 LA Kings, who played 3 7-game series to get to the final, did that beat the Rangers in that final. Nobody else has done this. So when, as this was playing out and the amount of games were accumulating, and folks were just sort of just saying, don't worry about it. It's not a big deal. I'm like, wait a second. The history of the league suggests otherwise. So this cannot be there's going to be diminishing returns at some point. And as Cooper mentioned, and as Gallant mentioned after the game, when the question was then posed, finally, hey, was fatigue a factor? And when both coaches said yes, that confirmed what I thought I was seeing on the ice myself over the last number of games, that even though Tampa Bay in the first game may not have had their legs up, they deserved a better fate in that game as I looked at the data. But as the series progressed, starting from about the latter part of the second period in game two on, the series was really, to me, a complete wipeout. So that's something that I just keep wondering, like, were the goalposts being moved by the fans on purpose? Because it went from we just lost one game, that was game three, blown out game four, oh, we're coming home for game five. They lose game five, then it's, we're good when we're, you know, facing elimination. Now all of a sudden, season's over. Like, the goalposts kept moving, which I just found just very, very odd. But so I went into the lab because I wanted to see if my eyes were telling me what I thought I was seeing. And I looked at the data on it, and boy, it was rough. Scoring chances. I used the three metrics: scoring chances, high danger, and expected goals. Those three can pretty much tell me about 85% of all NHL games. For the series, Tampa was 180 to 116 in terms of chances. High danger, 88 to 42. And when I looked at the last four games plus, I'm using that third period of the second game because that's kind of really where it started. Tampa, in terms of high danger, had 64 chances, and the Rangers had 22 for four-plus games, and 126 to 73 over four-plus games. You give a team like Tampa 50 more chances and 40 more just grade-A quality chances. It was a miracle the series didn't end shorter than it did. You know, a miracle that at the point that the series was, that the Rangers were still in the series. You give any team that amount of leeway against you, and you're going to have diminishing returns. And unfortunately, you know, what was it 88 out of 180? That's basically one out of every two Tampa shots for the series was high danger. You can't survive that over any. That's why I remember last year we were talking about the idea of win and steal. The Rangers, had the Rangers won this series, they would have stolen this series. Like, you can't play like this. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, okay, going forward, and I'll probably pose it in the next round when we go back and forth, because I keep wondering now. Progression is not linear. Like, we're not taking all the same guys and just go under the assumption that all of them are just going to rise next season, just learning from the experience and then just playing better because. Like, that's the history of the league suggests otherwise. There have been too many teams now over the last, just using the last 5 years of data, that have had sort of these kind of runs where they get to the conference final or even get to the cup final, and you're thinking, oh, maybe there's a future there, and it doesn't seem to happen, whether it be the Islanders, we just saw that. You know, they're back in oblivion right now. You know, down here, my local team, the Dallas Stars, had a nice kind of upward progression. They even made the final 2 years ago, and they haven't done much since. You know, Winnipeg was supposed to be on that same sort of trajectory. Didn't happen that way. Nashville got close. Never got back even close to it ever since. And so there is this fear, especially with the ages of some of these guys, whether it be Kreider at 31, Panarin at 31, Zibanejad at 29, reaching that sort of kind of demarcation line with the age in players in the NHL where diminishing returns begin right around that period of time. And you just sort of say, wait a second, between those guys and the young guys, there's going to have to be a transition at some point. When does that happen? And the other thing too, and I'll toss over to you guys, is the model that the Rangers are trying to play sustainable? What I mean by that is this. Igor had probably one of the three or four greatest goaltending seasons of all time this season. And the power play converted at a very extremely high rate. If I just reduce that conversion rate and that save rate by, let's just say, I don't know, 12%, 12 to 15% next season, are the results of the season different? Because there is a very, very high probability, and I'm willing to probably bet money on it right now, that there's going to be somewhat of a, a slight market correction on that next season. Like, they're not going to have all-time great years 2 years in a row. And if that comes about with the five-on-five issues that exist right now, where does that sort of leave us? Because I think the Rangers have to figure out a way to become a much more sustainable team and not sort of have an over-reliance on Igor to basically just bail them out, as this series showed, as the previous series was showing against Pittsburgh, and just sort of just crossing your fingers and just hoping for the best. That's a very dangerous game to play.
All right, cool. Glenn, you want to follow up on that? Go to from Carl, and then go to Scott, and then get back to RP.
I think Carl's statistics pretty much confirmed what I thought I saw, you know, with my own eyes. The disappointment in this with Tampa is that the Rangers were up 2-0. They were up 2-0 in game 3. And my feeling all along with that was, boy, I hope they can end this series before Tampa gets their legs under them or before Tampa wakes up, because, we've seen the kind of team that Tampa is the last couple of years. And, I was really hoping they could sneak out that game 3 and go up 3-0, because that would have been tough for Tampa to do. Obviously, it wouldn't have, because they won 4 straight anyway. But, you know, you look at the games the end of game 2, 3, 4, and 5, and 6. I mean, the Rangers were in those games. You look at the scores and you could convince yourself that, geez, you know, a bounce here, a bounce there. And, you know, we were in these games. They're all one goal games. But after each one, could you really say that? Most of them, like Carl said, Tampa was just getting the overwhelmingly higher amount of high danger chances. You could see the fatigue that was starting to occur with the Rangers from playing all of these games. You really could see the tide turning, and it was almost a case more where the Rangers were lucky that these games were one-goal games, with Igor keeping them in them, rather than they were really in it. And, they had a chance to really put the hammer down if they could have held on in game 3. But the thing that I thought I noticed in most of these games is that besides Tampa's forecheck and keeping the puck in the Rangers zone for long periods of time, but also on the rush, there seemed to be so many plays. I mean, Palat's winning goal late in game 3, the Stamkos goal, a number of others, where the guys were just getting behind the defense. They were getting between the defense and Igor. And I thought there was too much of that. And that concerns me a little bit going forward, too, they're really going to have to, tighten up on defense and eliminate those mistakes. Now, was fatigue part of that? Maybe. I thought I just noticed a little bit too much of that. And the Rangers, ultimately fell to a team that was more experienced, more well-rested, didn't, panic in late moments of close games. Were they the better team? Statistically, yes. They also didn't have points, which, you kind of say, well, if they had him, it might have been even worse. But, ultimately they were just beaten by, a better, more experienced, well-rested team. And, that's you can't be disappointed in that. They gave us a great ride. We thought they might have had a little pixie dust going after they won games 6 and 7 with Carolina, that, maybe this was a team of destiny, but, reality kind of struck us in the face, and, now we have to look and see what Drury's going to do over the summer, because I think he's got, quite a bit of work to do to figure out who stays, who goes, guys like Hoffman and Cully. There's a lot of work to be done. This team's going to look a lot different come September, so, we'll see we'll see what goes from there. It'll be interesting over the summer, but, you know, can't complain. They gave us a great season, and they tried as hard as they could.
All right, let's go to Scott. Scott, I hope you and Patrick be easy on our Rangers, man, when next time you guys talk about this, man. But you heard Charles' thoughts and Ranger Proud, man. Your thoughts, man.
Yeah, well, I wanted to get back to what RP said about the controversial Kako decision, and I agree with him. Whether or not there was something else there as to why, because there's all sorts of rumors, and, you know, we don't need to give rumors any life, but we just, you know, I'm sure you guys have read it too, but perhaps something happened between the two. That being said, let's just assume that none of that is true and it didn't happen. I don't disagree with the decision, because something had to change. You know, they were doing the same thing for three games. It wasn't working, even when they went back to New York, because after the two games in Tampa, we thought maybe it was like a Carolina situation where they were just really using that last change in that matchup to just dominate. We thought, okay, we'll go back to game five. We'll get our, you know, last change and the home ice back. But again, it didn't work. So three straight games, well, now we're on the brink of oblivion. I have no problem with him making a change. I mean, you know, Tackle, those three have been fantastic, but, you know, again, as you said, you know, they broke them up anyway in Tampa to try and inject some, some energy and some life into the other, into all the lines. So, and of those three, Tackle, yes, he was doing things, you know, behind the scenes that wouldn't register on the score sheet anyway, but at the end of the day, we need goals, period. And so I have no problem with that decision. It was one game. You know, it's not like Froggy benched Panarin or Kreider or Zibanejad. I actually heard somebody compare this to in 2013 when they were down 3-0 to Boston in the second round, and Tortorella benched Brad Richards for game four. And, you know, Tortorella had a habit of, you know, benching stars, if they weren't, if they were dragging ass. So he benched him for game four. The Rangers win game four in overtime. He benched him again for game five. Okay, and that's a problem. Like, you know, game four, so be it. You know, you made your point. You know, you made your point, lesson learned. Now you're benching our Conn Smythe, well, not our Conn Smythe, but you're benching a Conn Smythe, winning, you know, playoff expert for two games. You know, and people are trying to compare it to that. I'm like, stop. I'm like, that's not even a fair comparison. But I do realize why they were making that comparison. I don't have a problem with the Kako benching. Hopefully it's not something, you know, rumor-based that might result in him getting traded or whatnot. And we were talking about that, too. I was talking about it with some people. He's only 21. We're not putting him in the bust category by any means. He still got two more years to prove that. However, I wouldn't be opposed to a trade there. I think, you know, Hedl has emerged. You know, I don't want him going anywhere. Lafreniere, we know where we're going to get with him, so he's not going anywhere. I don't want to see Kako traded, but I wouldn't be opposed if it meant maybe locking down that legit number two center that we so desperately need. And I also agree with that other point that, you know, we give these guys so much credit about the play and injure part, the whole, you know, they're hockey players, et cetera, et cetera. But that being said, if you're whatever injury you're playing through becomes a detriment to the team, then you're not being a hero. And, you know, you're killing the team. You know, if it's affecting your play, and I'm not talking about, you know, missing wide open nets, that's something different. Because you can literally be standing still to make that play in game five. It does, you know, I don't think the pelvis and the stomach was an issue there. I think that was just like, you know, come on. But he was dragging that. He clearly was not the same player he was, because, you know, all, you know, lack of points and lack of winning faceoffs aside, like, he was a good, legit second line center, in terms of playmaking and whatnot. You know, and I use the same comparison that I did with Kako. He's, you know, doing things that, you know, might often result in goals that, he might not get credit for on the score sheet. So I didn't hate Strom. I knew we could do better for a second-line center. than him, but I didn't hate him. But, yeah, so I don't know if that's on him for not, you know, for telling Gallant, like, I'm fine, I can go, and hiding just how bad it was, or if that's on Gallant for knowing and putting him in anyway. We don't know. We'll probably never know. That being said, you know, he was definitely a detriment to the team. You know, whether or not, maybe it's because of the injury, maybe not, but, you know, maybe he was just gassed like everyone else. I don't know. But, you know, when you come out with that afterwards, it doesn't make me have respect for the guy that he's played through that. It makes me think maybe he shouldn't have been there. So just a couple things I agree with, and it's going to be a very, very interesting off season as far as who we resign. I saw like an hour ago, Vetrano and Kopp both came out and said, they pretty much said the exact same thing. We have, quote unquote, we have unfinished business in New York. Now, that's a good sign, but that being said, when free agency starts and the offers start pouring in, that doesn't mean shit. You know, hopefully they developed a good rapport with the guys here. Hopefully they like what they saw as far as the future of the team. You know, you got a badass goalie to ride on in a team that's just only going to get better. They, you know, they got a taste of playoff hockey at the Garden, which, as we talked about, you know, a few weeks ago, is, you know, more resembling what we know and what we used to know as playoff hockey at the Garden than it has been in the last few years, the last time we were in the playoffs. So that's a good thing. You know, maybe I'm sure they probably want to stay in New York. That being said, the offers are going to start pouring in from teams with a lot more cap space than we do, and we'll just have to see what happens. So yeah, that was my segment.
Yeah, shout outs to Scott. I agree with you, Scott, and on Carl about we got outplayed, but we had chances. I felt some of that same way in the Carolina series as well. That when Strome missed that wide open net, man. I mean, the opportunities, injury or not, you have got to put things away when you had the chance, man. And this is where I go back to RP, but I'll say this. It was frustrating because from a human aspect, they did play a lot of games. But there is clearly after – I mean, we were up to nothing. And then once Kucherov started to get a little bit loose in game number three, they never really looked back. The pressure was pretty much on from the Lightning standpoint, and their forecheck was excellent. It was quality because they also had guys back there behind the blue line, meaning in the Rangers offensive zone, waiting and ready to just take away anything just coming through the zone. It was just frustrating to watch altogether. It was just sloppy. The 5-on-5 was just, you know, I mean, all Saving Grace pretty much was the goalie and the power play. And that's basically it. It was nothing, we were getting nothing else out of that. So after that Vetrano goal, I was like, man. I thought it was going to be one of those things like we saw in Pittsburgh and Carolina. Oh, man, we got this power play goal, and, man, maybe we could steal this. But 20 seconds later, and Kucherov, after the puck went and it ended up with Kucherov in the neutral zone, and Keandre Miller was on his man. But, man, Trouba, as much of a war hero he was, man, he got beat bad, man. I mean, give him credit for a strong regular season, but man, that I wish we could have that one back, man. RP, especially 20 seconds after that Vetrano goal. But RP, there's other stuff we got to talk about as well, and there's also any additional thoughts because the Vitali Kravtsov coming back to the Rangers as well. If you want to talk about that, what are your thoughts on that? How that plays into the roster going forward? And then anything else you'd like to say, and then go to Carl, Glenn, and Scott so we can round up and get extended final thoughts after you speak and try to get more time with the next 20, 25 minutes.
Yeah, back to what Carl was saying about transitioning from some of the older players, that's what I think Gallant alluded to today or yesterday on breakup day when he said he expected, you know, Lafreniere and Kako to be top six players and, of course, Hedl. And I think that transition has to happen this coming season. Lafreniere showed that he's a very energized player. He's that grinding kind of player. He's built for the playoffs, I think. Hedl definitely showed what he can do. And we know Kako may not be that goal scorer everyone thought, but he can be a solid winger player on the top two lines. And somehow, somewhere, Gallant's going to have to get them up there without disrupting the entire team, which is going to be a tough test to do. And, you know, or you're going to have to just play the third line more minutes and cut back on the first and second line a little bit to get them more ice time, which is something they didn't have in the playoffs. I think the last full game, those three played together, they only had like 11 minutes of ice time, which isn't nearly enough to get anything going. So it's a tough balancing act that he's going to have to figure out. But, you know, that's why he's the head coach. And if he wants to get the most out of his team as the head coach, you have to put the players in the right position to be successful. But I always say that. And that means you have to move other guys around to get your younger, better players in more minutes, then that's what you have to do. The Vitali Kravtsov signing was – that signing is interesting. I know Drury is trying to make amends with him to get him back here. I don't know how the team as a unit feels the way he quit for a second time and refused to report to camp. Him signing a one-way contract was a little misprint. The one-way contract means he can still be sent down, but he'll still make the NHL salary. It doesn't mean he can't be sent down. He's not locked into a roster spot. A lot of people were saying, how can you give him a one-way contract? It doesn't mean he can't be sent down to the minors. It just means he doesn't get a minor salary. He keeps his NHL salary. So everyone has to keep that in the frame of mind and see if he can make the team or not. He didn't explode in the KHL. He wasn't this nonstop scoring machine in the KHL. So he's got to earn his spot on the team. And still now, there aren't a lot of spots open. So they just have to see how that plays out. First and foremost, now that the regular season and the playoffs have concluded, guys, they have to address their unrestricted free agents. And the number one player they have to address is what are they going to do with Ryan Strome? Because it's hard to sign anybody else until you sign Strome or decide we're going to let Strome walk. Their salary cap is really tight next season. They have some big contracts. Fox's contract kicks in. Panama's making $11 million. There's some big numbers, and it's not going to be as flexible as many think. It's going to be hard for them to sign a free agent center because there aren't that many good available young free agent centers. So if they want to get a good quality center into this lineup, they're going to have to trade a roster player, if not two. Who that will be, you'll get as good as mine. You're going to probably hear Kako's name, not because he was benched, because Gallant came out and said straight out he was looking for a way to win, and that was the decision he and the coaching staff made. But if you look at the top six forwards that you can trade, there aren't that many that's going to go. You're not going to give up on Lafreniere. You're not going to give up on Gidl. Panarin, Zibanejad, Kreider are going to stay. Strome, let's say for now, is going to walk. If you're going to make a trade, it's going to be probably Kako. Now, do other teams or are other teams willing to trade a top two, top three center for a Kako is for another conversation. But trade-wise, you know, you can only improve your lineup by trading someone from your lineup. You're not going to get a number two center by trading, you know, Hoffman or some of these other guys in the minors. So I think that makes it a lot more difficult. Their salary makes it a lot more difficult. But they do need to address the same things that we've been saying all season. They need a quality center. They need another defenseman. They have five good defensemen. You could bring Jones up and let Jones play with Schneider, or you could break up your defensive pairings. But as good as they are, we didn't win the cup, right? So is it that bad if you break up Fox and Lindgren? Maybe. Is it that bad if you break up Keandre Miller and Truba? I think they could get away with that. So you might want to mix those guys up, but you also want to remember playing minutes. If you break up Lindgren and Fox, you still have to give them those playing minutes they're getting now as a unit. So by just moving the top four players around, I don't know how much of an improvement that'll be. So the offseason is going to have a lot of its challenges. I know a cop had said he told his agents to kick the rocks around and see what's available out there. Of course, he wants to stay with the Rangers. What else would he say at this point? And the same thing for Petrano and the same thing for Strome. They all want to stay, but like Leo said, once July 13th comes and all these big contracts and numbers get offered at them and they don't have to go back to the Rangers if they don't want to. So if they don't resign these guys to decide what they want to do with these guys and the free agency period starts, they're going to see what's out there, and they're probably going to get some good money for their services. So the Rangers may have some free space up. They may not. It all depends what they want to do and what direction they're leaning towards. I think Kraftsov might be another trade bait. I think they signed him, and if they want to put him in at a trade and move him, since there's been so much animosity with the player, that might be another feasible opportunity for them.
All right,
I don't
cool,
know
cool.
where he fits on this team. Cool what, to trade for?
No. I said cool, cool. I get what you're saying. No, I get exactly what you're saying.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, it's a tough thing that they're going to have to balance here, and they don't have a lot of time, like Scott was saying. It was a condensed COVID schedule last year, and now because of that, the offseason gets really tight. You know, July 13th is free agency, and 5 weeks later, you're in training camp. But there's not a lot of time to do all this work they have to do, so we're just going to have to wait. And let me just say, Scott, my condolences to your loss. I understand you had a family loss, so I'm sorry to hear that. I hope everything works out well with the family.
Thank you. I appreciate that. That's very kind. Thank you.
All right, cool. Let's get extended final thoughts, man. Carl, your final thoughts. Season overall, how you expect this going to play in the all season when we get into after the Stanley Cup Finals. Matter of fact, and also a prediction between Avalanche and Lightning, if you have any, and we'll go right down the line. Shout out to everybody. Let's go to Carl for extended final thoughts.
Yeah. As we say goodbye, you know, it's this. I remember back in early October, I remember the term I used was the chase for 100. And the idea behind that was when I saw that the Rangers were, I think, in the sports book at 97.5 in terms of points, which would have them in the wild card if they would have gotten that number. I said, okay, if the Rangers can get to 100 points, they would safely make the playoffs, and they did more than that. So from that standpoint, you know, the season was successful. It was then validated by the Pittsburgh series, even more so by the Carolina series, but then the disappointment that came on Saturday night. My only fear on that is that, you know, it's so hard to get back there. You know, they showed Kreider after the game basically in tears, and I thought to myself, like, Kreider was 24 years old the last time he played in the Eastern Conference Final, and he's 31 today. Those opportunities don't come as often as you might think. And, you know, just sort of just, you know, next season's going to have a whole different set of expectations. You know, Rangers start on October, whatever the day is, you know, coming up here. You know, they're no longer going to be looked at as the little engine that could. You know, there's not going to be the surprise anymore. You know, the Rangers are going to be playing. When they play at the Garden, you know, there's going to be an expectation of this team to be successful, not – ooh, just give us a good product. I got to get to that later on, by the way. But, you know, if the Rangers are not successful during the season, there's going to be more scrutiny. And how does the team play with that expectation and that burden that is now going to come about because the fans have seen what the team is potentially capable of? And some teams rise with that, and there are some teams that sort of, you know, are not able to play under that sort of pressure. So it's something to be wondering about going into the season. Just hopefully the Rangers are on the good side of that. As far as I'm thinking about this, you know, the coach, in his previous three stops, he's lasted no more than about 2.25 years in each of the three places he's been in. There's diminishing returns with him. And I think that's going to start coming into focus, I think, next season. You know, I don't know if there was a disciplinary issue with him and Kako. That's what I believe, by the way, in terms of why he was benched. But, you know, if there are other issues with other players that will, you know, the players will buy in for 1 year. But after a while, you begin to wonder if the message will get stale. And his history suggests that that's what the case is. You know, you don't get fired three different times in the middle of your third year without some issue going on consistently. And in all three stops, that's happened. So that's something also to be aware of. And just one last thing here on the Rangers. You know, this is year number, I think it's, what, the 17th year since the canceled season of, what, 2005? You know, I consider this to be sort of like one whole run. And the one thing I always give the Rangers credit for more than any other team outside of the Yankees is that the Rangers always give you a quality product, win or lose. You know, very few times do I feel like the Rangers have ever cheated me when I've watched them. Other teams have. I won't get into the specifics of which ones they are, but the Rangers on a yearly, almost night-to-night consistent basis since the start of the 2005 season when they came back from the canceled season, have always been able to give everyone who's watched a reasonable quality product to watch just about every night. And you can't ask for more. You know, sometimes they're going to win, sometimes they're going to lose. But you know what? Each and every night, I can at least be on in front of the television set and say, you know what? I got my money's worth. And the Rangers have been providing that. And hopefully the future is bright. But, you know, nothing is ever guaranteed in the hockey world, and especially now in the salary cap era, where runs can close in an instant.
Right about that. You have a Stanley Cup winner?
I have. You know, I saw the number in the book, and Colorado is favorite. And I do think Colorado has. I mean, they've been the betting favorite all year, and but Tampa Bay, I gained so much respect for them watching them as this past series. It's going to take a hell of a lot of guile for Colorado to knock them out. And you know what? I'm going to take Tampa Bay. I don't think they're going to win it, but you know what? To see a three-peat in the salary cap era of hockey, which is damn near impossible. It's damn near impossible to win both back-to-back. But for what they do, for how they've been doing it, they've been on this run now for about 10 years. They got so lucky. You know, they missed it a couple of times. That they couldn't get over the hump, and they finally broke through all these years later. And now to see this is just amazing. You probably, if they win it this year, you're probably never going to see this again in the salary cap era. You're never going to see it. And so you know what? Let them play it out, and, you know, good luck to them coming up tomorrow night. I wish I was heading to Denver on Saturday, this weekend anyway, and unfortunately the Rangers are not coming with me. That's the one part that disappointed me.
Oh, yeah, I know, right? Shout out to Carl, man, at the C-Notes on Twitter. Thank you very much, man, and thank you for your thoughts and contributions here on the Ring Podcast with Ranger Proud, man. Glenn, your final thoughts, man, your extended final thoughts, and of course, your Stanley Cup prediction, and then we'll go to Scott.
Yeah, with regard to what Carl was talking about diminishing returns, that makes this a real critical offseason for Drury. The window is opening. The window is clearly open. And, you know, you look at, you know, some of the, you know, like we just talked about Tampa. They started knocking on the door in 2015 when they beat the Rangers in the Eastern Conference Final. And they had to endure, you know, they lost in the finals. They missed the playoffs one year. They were swept, surprisingly, by Columbus one year. They were knocking on the door for 5 years before they got over the hump. And even you look back at some of the old dynasties, you know, the Islander dynasty, hey, they lost in 78 to Toronto and in 79 to the Rangers before they got over the hump. So just because you get there doesn't mean that next year is going to be even better. Can Igor replicate the year he had this year? Probably not. Can Kreider score another 52 goals next year? Probably not. So there's going to have to be some improvement from within, but there's also going to have to be some imports that come in that fill some of the holes. Obviously, the Strome situation is something that needs to be resolved. For me, Filipino had a great playoff, but it's such a small sample size, I'm still not convinced. I got to see more before I would say I'm comfortable with him, moving him up to the second center spot. Now, if that happens, then you got him still back on the third line. And how do you configure, you know, if Kako stays, what do you do with Lafreniere? I mean, I like Frankie Vatrano, but not on the first line. I'd prefer him on the second or even the third line. You know, what happens with Kopp? Sammy Blay is coming back, which I think is a guy that they really missed, that they really could have used. So hopefully they'll be able to find a way to keep him. You know, I remember saying early in the season that the Rangers almost have too many guys for the roster spots that they could fill. And now with guys like Vetrano and Kopp and Tyler Mott here who performed well, they've even got more too many guys. So it's going to be very interesting to see who stays, who goes, and who are the proper imports that they need to bring in. See, I think they need a guy, and, you know, I'm going to go on the high end, but these guys are not available, like Matthew or Brady Tkachuk, or dare I say Tom Wilson. A guy like that who's got size, who hits, who can get in those dirty areas, who can get in front of the net, much like Kreider did this year. But we saw Tampa pretty much negate Kreider in this series in the front of the net. I think they need I think Tampa, besides the fact that the Rangers were tired, Tampa's a big team. They got a lot of big guys. And I'm not sure the Rangers can match that. They've got a ton of talent. But I think they need more size. And it'll be interesting to see who Drury can bring in, or, you know, if a guy like Will Cully, we've heard, is a real physical player. Matthew Robertson for defense is a big guy. So I think this is a real critical year, because when you look at teams like Tampa, it took them 5 years to win the Cup once they started knocking on the door. Well, we can't wait for Zibanejad and Panarin and Kreider to be 3, 4, 5 years older to win the Cup. The window is open now, and I think it's going to be really, up to Drury to take advantage of that and avoid having there be, a little bit of a step backwards next year. And I've thought that what Carl brought up as far as Gallant as well. His shelf life is like, 2.5 years. If we wait so long, is he even going to be here for that? I'm really looking forward to this summer and September to see how this team is constructed, because there are obviously some needs, some holes that need to be filled, and there are so many different ways that Drury can go that I think it's going to be real interesting to see what he does, and I'm sure we'll be talking about that over the summer. As far as my Cup Finals go, I'm really worried about Colorado's goaltending. And if Point comes back, I mean, we saw how Tampa was able to shut down the Rangers with the fatigue factor, obviously. But they also shut down the highest-scoring team in the league in Florida. And I watched some of those Colorado-Edmonton games. Those games were just at a different speed than the Tampa Ranger games. And I think that Tampa can slow them down. I think Tampa can control the neutral zone, and they have such superior goaltending to whoever is going to be in net for Colorado. I'll be rooting for Colorado, because personally I never root for the team that knocks us out. I want their fans to feel what we felt. But I think Tampa's going to do it. I really do. I think it's going to be a long series. I think it's going to be a great series. But in the end, I think goaltending and the defensive structure of Tampa is going to be what's the deciding factor. So I'm thinking Tampa's going to win.
Thank you, Glenn. Appreciate that, man. Shout out to Glenn. Scott, we're almost out of time, but if you could give us your final thoughts and then go to Ranger Pride after that.
Yeah, I think everybody made a good point about nothing's guaranteed. And yes, we keep saying they're only going to get better, which is true as these younger guys mature. I think you'll see Zach Jones next year. He played a few games with Braden Schneider, and the two of them looked incredible as a pair in those few games they were together. Both 20-year-old rookies, both played together phenomenally as a pair coincidentally, and I'm going to assume that they sent Zach Jones down because they didn't want to ruin both of their rookie statuses at the same time. That's my personal opinion. And also, they didn't want to have a pair of a 20-year-old in the same, as well as they were playing together, you know, on the same pair, you know, heading into the playoffs. So I accept both of those reasons if they are legit. But I really like what I saw out of Zach Jones, and I think he will make the team next year, and that's number six, with Justin Braun being then a capable seventh man. Hopefully they can do something with, I don't know who would possibly be interested in Nemeth, but that would be fantastic to be able to get him off the roster. Would be nice. But the Kraftsoff situation is going to be very interesting. I mean, I want nothing more than for this to work out. I love what I saw out of him. Like, he reminds me of a kid Panarin, just the way he handles the puck, the quickness. He's got a phenomenal shot. Like, he could definitely be the sniper that, we were hoping to get out of Kako. So I want nothing more than for them to work out. I don't know if it's possible. Thank you, RP, for because I didn't know. I thought the one-way contract, man, he killed me, sent down. That's what I thought. So thank you for clearing that up. That gives me a little optimism, because if that was the case, then it's 100% trade bait. But, because who's to say he needs to play at the AHL level. He needs, if only for 10 games, he needs to get acclimated to the North American style. Even Igor was in the AHL for a bit. So he definitely needs that, and hopefully it won't be an issue. So with that contract, that does allow him to go down. He's going to get paid. Good for him. Personally, I don't think I'm sure that was part of the major sticking point to get him over here in the first place, and that's a problem. But in any case, I want nothing more for this guy to have learned his lesson and pan out. That remains to be seen. Drury definitely, as great of an offseason as Drury had and where we are, yes, to get back to where we are, and take the next step, he needs to have just as big of an offseason this one as he did last one. He's got a lot of work cut out for him. We like what we've seen so far, one offseason, the trade deadline. He's filled me with all sorts of confidence. So that's good news, but hopefully he can get it done. And I'm hopefully having shades of, I hope I'm right on this, but I'm getting a 2014-2015 vibe, where 2014 playoff run came out of nowhere. Yes, they made it one step further. Playoff run came out of nowhere, got shut down in the finals, and then took the next step. I mean, they did or they didn't, depending on who you want to look at it. They were the President's Trophy winner, even with Hank going down, they were the President's Trophy winner, got the one seed. So they surpassed that in the regular season, did get to the conference finals, and then, just died in games 5 and 7, which I don't understand. They died in game 5, came back, scored 7 goals in game 7 on the road, and then just died again in another shutout. I just didn't understand that. And I'm putting a lot of that blame on AD. Yes, these guys are grown men and professionals. They shouldn't need a coach to be throwing garbage cans across the locker room. That being said, sometimes it needs to happen. And I think, AV had zero motivation, zero fires to light under their asses. And that certainly was part of it. Of course, a lot of it's on the players too, for just dragging ass out there for the entire game in game 7. But, we have a coach now who will light a fire under them if it comes to that. So that's why I'm hopefully getting more of a 2014-2015 vibe here, and, obviously with a better playoff result. So, again, it's going to be a very, very exciting. We get the draft, and then the draft won't directly impact us towards just to Stanley Cup hopes next year. But, keep building that prospect system. And then, yeah, free agency is going to be, fun. It's so fun to go into free agency, coming off the playoffs and finally, know we're going in as buyers, just like with the trade deadline. We hadn't had that for 5 years. So, I'm so stoked for July 13th. And we'll see what happens. As for the finals, I got Tampa 100%. you know, people for some reason are, I mean, I know the reason as to why, you know, people are overwhelmingly picking Colorado, but yeah, I agree. I don't like what I've seen on their blue line and goalie. Their goaltending is average at best. Maybe it's a Corey Crawford Chicago thing where, I mean, I think their goaltending is worse than Corey Crawford was, but I mean, Tampa has a phenomenal defense. In addition to that, just lethal offense, they've got a phenomenal defense. And then if you get past their defense, oh, by the way, there's the best goalie on the planet waiting for you. So that's huge. It's going to be huge in the finals. And, yeah, even though, even though Colorado blew through an Oilers, that was an Oilers team that we knew was top-heavy as well. And they're not playing a top-heavy team this time around, and they're playing a team that's not only not top-heavy, but, again, has the best goalie on the planet, and their offense is absolutely lethal, and, yeah, they may or may be getting Braden Point coming back. In seeing that injury, it just, when I saw it, I watched it a bunch of times, I'm just like, oh, my God, there's a knee shredded in 17 places. Like, he's out for 2 years. So I think that John Cooper, and I got to give John Cooper credit for this, when he was saying, like, on the game-by-game basis, like, Braden Point's out tonight, you know, and refused to say anything for, more than that. And then they actually put him on the ice in some kind of skate one day before saying, like, right at 7 o'clock that he was out. Like, that's all mind games, because I didn't think there was any chance of him coming back in that series based on that injury that I saw. So give John Cooper credit. He was playing a chess game, a mind game. Maybe Gallant had to, you know, make adjustments in his lineup in anticipation of him. Who knows? Whatever. It's all mind games and a chess match. Credit to him. Maybe it worked, and maybe it did something to affect the outcome. Maybe it didn't. Who knows? But for all of these reasons, I'm going with Tampa. They're the two-time defending Stanley Cup champions until they're not, and they're still. Have not been beaten. I was trying to figure out a clever way to say that. But, yeah, they're still the two-time defending champions. And I think Colorado's just top heaviness is going to cost them the same way it cost Florida. I think they're going to run into a team finally they can't beat, a team that clearly knows what they're doing at this at this stage of the game. I think – and I'm actually rooting for them too, believe it or not. I agree. Who was that? I think Glenn who said it or Carl who said it. I generally hate the team that knocked mine out. Yeah, it took me a while to get over Tampa Bay from 2015, but, you know, taking care of the Islanders conference threat not once but twice will certainly give you a pass in my book. And as for just beating the Rangers, like, I just am a fan of history. You know, as an objective sports fan, I'm a fan of history. And a three-peat is history because, you know, it's very, very rare at the hockey level. The Islanders, the last one to do it. And, win five in a row and shut the Islander fans up for good. I mean, as long as it doesn't impact us. So I'm going Tampa until they prove me otherwise and they haven't. So, and I'm rooting for them.
All right, cool. Shout out to Scott, man. RP, we're out of time, but go ahead, fire away. Take your time and do what you got to do, man, on this recapping this season.
This isn't going to be long. I think it was a 100% successful season for the Rangers. It showed a lot of heart and 27 comeback wins in a regular season. You have to be happy with this family act overall for the season, even with the disappointment of the Rangers of the Tampa Bay series. I'm going to do it reverse way, Steve. My prediction, as I won in Colorado, and so Nathan MacKinnon yesterday came out with a comment and said, these are two good teams here. There's no Cinderella team playing in this series. This is a straight bid to the Rangers. That really kicked me off. I'm really a big fan of Cooper, and I think Tampa Bay knows how to win these games, so I'm picking Tampa Bay to win the Cup. Thanks for following me on Ranger Proud and following all my writing on Forever Blue Shirts and Empire Sports Media. I'm definitely taking a break after this week. And let me just say to Scott and to Glenn and to Carl and to Steve, what makes this show really good is that you guys are so honest. When the Rangers shit the bed, we say the Rangers shit the bed. There's no sugarcoating it. And that's what I hope the fans who listen to the podcast can enjoy, because they're going to get honest opinions from all of us. We're really good hockey fans. We're really knowledgeable Ranger fans. So I just want to say thank you to you guys for all of that. It's been a great run going through the playoffs and a regular season with you guys. And just stay strong and stay positive. We got a good club, and I think we're going to do a really good thing next year. So stay strong. As always, be Ranger proud, and I'll talk to you guys real soon.
Shouts to RP. Shouts to Glenn Cole, Scott. And I echo those sentiments, RP. Thanks to you, to the guys for coming on this season. You know, this off season we'll be on every other week, so we'll be back in 2 weeks. The 28th, probably by then, the Stanley Cup Finals will have been concluded, and we go from there as far as roster by roster, not only with our team but around the league as well as things develop. And it's going to be a slow off season until it gets to September, and we do it all over again. So shout out to the guys. Definitely. We'll be seeing on Ranger Proud on the page and articles down the pike on Forever Blue Shirts and Pirate Sports Media, and of course the Facebook fan page as well. Here on the Ring Podcast with Ranger Proud, here on the Blue Show. So, all right, guys, enjoy. 2 weeks. If you want to come back on in 2 weeks, we'll discuss, man. And then Scott, oh yeah, Scott, tell anybody that, you know, the YouTube Face Off Hockey Podcast is still going, right?
Yes, we will be doing another show tomorrow. I think at 5, we're going to do a short one. I got family obligations in the evening. Mm. So, yeah, we're going to preview the finals. Do it very similar to what we did here. Do, you know, a farewell to the Rangers. He was actually a Habs fan rooting for the Rangers. So, we'll, you know, he doesn't like Tampa either. So, we will talk about that. That is the Hockey Podcast 1 on Twitter.
Shout outs to Scott and the gang on there, man. All right, guys. Bleed Blue. Sound aggressive.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleed Blue. 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 Bleed Blue.